The scripture this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 45. Listen for the word of God. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
How would you define greatness? Well, the world would probably define it in terms of power, possessions, prestige, and position. But Jesus comes along talking about in the kingdom of God, it's not that way. That greatness is defined in terms of service. That the one who would be great would be the one who would be the servant of all. In 1968, February as a matter of fact, Dr. Martin Luther King preached a sermon on everyone can be great because everyone can serve. This is a short little clip. I want you to hear it. As you know, he was a powerful speaker. But we need to hear these words again. Everyone can be great because everyone can serve.
If you want to be a part, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Absolute definition of peace. This morning, the thing that I like.
Well, that's a message that we could just end right there, but I'd like to lift up a couple of things that have been on my heart. First of all, a confession. Early this morning, we heard this dog barking really, really loud. We knew something was perhaps, you know, wrong with the sound of that bark. So Polly looked out the window and we saw that someone's dog had gotten loose and was in our neighborhood running around. And well, you know what it's like on Sunday morning. You're trying to get ready, and we have lots of things to do to try to get ready. One of the things I like to do is read the newspaper a little bit, go over the message a little bit, have some coffee a little bit, lots of things a little bit. But I certainly didn't feel like going out and tending to a dog who was barking. But Polly went out, and she got the dog, discovered the telephone number that needed to be called, called the person, and the person eventually was able to come and get her dog back to rescue her dog. So Polly actually spent this morning demonstrating the message of service. I spent the morning just sort of taking it all in. That there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't see someone serving in some way. And it truly inspires me. And so I'm ready to share a message right now. When I see people living it out before me, it really does inspire me. We're in a series right now, Sharing the Heart of Christ from the Heart of Carrie. And these are special effects because sharing the heart of Christ through the heart of Carrie ought to be something to make you say, wow. And we've already started this. And we said, well, if we're going to share the heart of Christ, we need to know the heart of Christ. And we started out by saying that the heart of Christ, first of all, is a heart of worship. And then last week we talked about how the heart of Christ is a heart of fellowship. But today we're going to talk about how the heart of Christ is really service. And Jesus said, whoever would be great among you would be servant of all. And so today we're going to be talking about sharing the heart of Christ in terms of service. Now, when it comes to Jesus Christ, He modeled it for us. In Philippians, the second chapter, it says, though He was equal with God, He humbled Himself and took on the form of a servant. That He who sat in the throne in glory chose to take on flesh and live amongst us to give us the gospel story. Humbled Himself, taking on the form of a servant. He demonstrated service by washing the feet of the disciples first. Jesus went first and modeled service for us. How can you explain how a group of people would be willing to give their lives for Jesus, to go to the ends of the earth and, if necessary, lay down their lives for the kingdom of God and for all that Jesus stood for? Well, how do you account for that? There's no other way than that Jesus went first. He went to the cross. And so when we look at Jesus, we see someone who embodied greatness through service. And I'd like to lift up just a few characteristics of the heart of a servant. I'll never forget the day that I went over to Duke Hospital. We had someone in intensive care. They'd been involved in a terrible accident. And they were in intensive care, and I went up into the intensive care area, and there was a waiting room where the family was. There were a lot of distraught people there. A man came down the hallway with a little cart. It was a little cart of refreshments that were given out to people in that particular area. I thought I recognized this person, but I thought to myself, no, why would I know this person who's just bringing down a cart down the hall to serve people? But by the time I got through, I figured out who it was. It was Wes Aiken. He had retired as the head chaplain of Duke Hospital several years ago. But then he volunteered his service at the hospital to push the refreshment cart around the hospital and to particularly go to the places where people gathered and they were distraught and they were worried. And he would just, unbeknownst to them, would just listen. Offering himself to others. Never telling people, hey, do you know who I am? Do you know who I used to be here? Do you know how important I am? No, Wes just gave himself to serving without even being noticed. You know, I heard something one time, a prayer that I need to pray on a more consistent basis. Lord, slay the need in me to be noticed and stir up the gift to serve. And that's the first thing that we have to point out when it comes to service. The first characteristic of a servant is a person who says, you know, it's not about me, it is about others. Now, a servant doesn't think less of himself or less of herself. A servant just thinks of themselves less. They are thinking of others first. And so that's the very first thing that we think about in terms of service. Dear Lord, slay the need in me to be noticed and stir up the gift to serve. And remember what Martin Luther King said, we can all be great because we can all serve anywhere, anytime. First characteristic, however, is to say, you know, it's really not about me. It's about noticing the needs of others. The second thing that we can lift up in terms of service is something I think that needs to be said. Servants really realize that their sense of worth comes from their identity in Christ. That a servant is secure and that a servant knows that he or she is loved by God. And whether or not they're given a compliment by the people they serve, or whether or not they are appreciated, whether or not they receive good opinions from other people, that does not deter from their purpose of serving. In other words, a servant is going to be secure in their relationship with Christ. They are secure in their identity of Christ. You see, Jesus served because he had a strong security of who he was as God's Son. When he was baptized, the heavens broke open. Voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus knew at the beginning that he was secure in his heavenly Father's love. Then right after baptism was what? The temptation. Who are you going to be? You going to be the one using your so-called authority just to, you know, do things? Or are you going to live out your role that you were given by your heavenly Father to be a servant? And of course, Jesus in the wilderness, he maintained his proper identity. He had come to be a servant. You know, Jesus says, I have come to serve, not to be served. And he had that security in his heavenly Father. And so all of us need to be careful of not falling into the trap of, are we being appreciated by others? Because that's not really what it's about. Our security comes from the love of God, and we can give to others whether or not they appreciate it or not. The third characteristic is whatever we do in service, we're to do in the same manner as Jesus. We not only do what he did, helping to feed people, teaching, healing. We do not only what Jesus did, but we do in the manner that he did things. Jesus was gentle, though he had authority and though he had power. He was gentle. In Isaiah it says that a bruised reed he would not break, a flickering light he would not quench. He was gentle with people. He operated out of a sense of grace. I don't know what... There you go. Thank you very much. Thank goodness we got great servants back here. I'm not kidding you. You know, we have spooky things that go on. I'm not kidding you. And you know what I think? I think it's right at that moment that we all got a choice. And the choice is to say, Lord, you work through everything for good. And you know what? I'm inspired to share this thing with you now. We not only do things in the manner that Jesus did them, but we also are very, very careful not to compare ourselves with others. Because we compare ourselves with others, then we wind up competing with others. And then sometimes we become preoccupied with the criticism that others may have of us. But the only thing we ever need to be concerned with is the task before us, our responsibilities. In other words, this is so very important that regardless of what others are doing or not doing or saying about us, that should not deter us from our responsibility. And you know, the disciples, the reason I like the disciples, I see myself in them so very much. They were always concerned. Well, what about this person? And Jesus said, never mind about him, Peter. I'm talking to you and what I've called you to do. You know, it's just being a servant is staying focused on what you said you would do. You know, it's like the little boy who wanted to play baseball so much, and he went to the first organizational meeting, and the coach said, okay, we're going to have practice on Monday, and you know, y'all need to be out there at 2 o'clock, and you need to have your glove, and you need to be ready to practice, and we're going to have a great practice, we're going to have a great team, I'm going to be your coach. This boy was so excited, but the coach said, I'm telling you, you know, this is a responsibility that you must show up for practice. This is our number one rule. You show up for practice. And I want to see you there on Monday at 2 o'clock. All right? And everybody said, all right. Well, Monday came, and early in the morning it was a little bit cloudy. In the afternoon it started raining. About 20 minutes till 2, it was a downpour. And the little boy's mother looked out the window and she said, it's raining cats and dogs. There's no way that you're going to have practice today. Well, the little boy said, well, listen. The coach said that we're going to practice today at 2 o'clock, and I told him I would be there, and she said to her son, "Well, there's just no way there's going to be practice today at 2 o'clock." Well, you know how it is. A mother turns her back, and the next thing you know, the child slipped away, and so he's out there on the ball field at 2 o'clock with his cap and his little glove on. Now, across the street was where the coach lived. And the coach's wife looked out the window and said, honey, come over here. You're not going to believe what I see here. There's a little boy out there standing on the ball field with a ball cap and a glove on in the rain. What in the world is he doing over there? And the coach said, oh, it's Michael. So the coach got on his raincoat and went on outside and crossed the street, went over to the ballpark and went up to Michael and said, Michael, what are you? What are you doing here? He said, Coach, you said to be here at 2 o'clock for the practice. And that's why I'm here. I want to be able to play. And I am here to practice. You said 2 o'clock. And it's 2 o'clock. Wow. Well, we all know that he didn't have to go. But I think we all know that as we go through life, we lose that sense of serving that little boy had. That by golly, if that was his responsibility, that's what he was going to do. He wasn't going to look at others. And so it's not about me. It's deriving my sense of worth from who I am, not what I do. It's doing things in the manner that Jesus did them. And it's not comparing myself to others. And it's also realizing that the greatest ability that I have is my availability. Now, this is why it's so very important to have margin in your life. So easy to have our day schedule filled from minute to minute to minute to minute to minute to minute with everything. But to the extent that we can, we need to free up our schedule where there's a little bit more margin in there. Sure, there are some things we must do, things that we're committed to, some responsibilities. And we need to schedule the really important things first, but we need to have margin built into our very life so that when times come when we could serve, we're available to serve. You know, Jesus, it seemed that Jesus was always available, yet was he a busy person? Yes, he was a busy person. But nothing deterred him from stopping from what he was doing in order to speak with someone. Someone told me a long time ago that my interruptions would be my greatest opportunity to do ministry. And you know what? I think that's pretty much true. That I have set in my mind what I need to do today, and there are some important things. But then there are some interruptions, some things that come up, and by golly, it's during those times that when I attend to them, I really see that that is my opportunity to serve today. And sometimes it lets some things go, means letting some things go. But my greatest ability is my availability. And then, of course, the last thing is just simply this, is faithfulness. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. For at due season, we will reap if we do not give up. It's about just simply sticking to our task. So here we go. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And in our church, what we would like for you to know is that there's ways to serve within the church. We have family responsibilities. In every family, each member has a responsibility. It's the same in the church family. We each have family responsibilities of how we care for one another, things that we do within our church family. There are ways to serve within the church. I hope you'll take one of the sheets over here and you'll see some of the many ways that we can serve within the church. Then there are ways that we can serve in the community, and you can read about that as well. And then ways that we can serve in the world. But from the heart of Cary, we serve, starting from where we are and moving on out into our community, into the world. And so basically I have just three simple questions for you today. And that is, number one, where do you sense perhaps God calling you to serve, whether it's in the church or in the community, in the world? And then the second question is just simply this. How are you being asked to serve in the way that Jesus serves? In other words, not only what is it that you would do, but have you considered the manner in which you would do it? The third question is an important question, because the question is just simply this. Have you been served? Have you truly been served by Jesus Christ? Now, you say, well, William, we're talking about being servants. You're asking me about being a servant, about serving. Now, why are you asking me about being served? And here's the reason. Because when you've been served by Jesus Christ, you cannot help but serve. When you know what forgiveness is, when you know what grace is, when you know what it is to have someone give attention to you, to recognize you, to spend time with you, to be with you through the good times, through the hard times, when you look down and Jesus is washing your feet, when you look up and He's drying your tears, you know, when you've been served by Jesus, you'll know why you're serving. We serve because we've been served. So that third question is really this. How do you need Jesus to serve you today? Polly and I will be up here for prayer if there's anything we can pray with you about. But this coming week, think about these three questions. Where might God be calling you to serve in the church, in the community, in the world? And in what manner are you to serve? But right now, how do you need to be served? Let us stand.